Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
What's your favorite kind of salad?
My favorite kind? Probably chicken. Chicken salad. Love it.
Well, what? Oh, you, chicken salad.
How is that confusing?
I meant like a real salad, not like take a bunch of leftovers and put mayonnaise on it and then have some food.
It is a type of salad.
No, that's not a real salad.
What kind of a judge are you? What's going on right now? Can I enjoy salad?
God, I can't handle it. My pants are too tight for this fucking bullshit. Hey, everybody, I'm Michelle Buteau.
And I'm Jordan Carlos, and welcome to Adulting from WNYC Studios.
This episode is a special one. First off, we're staying in the studio so we could talk to Irish comedian Aisling Bea. Her show, This Way Up, just hit Hulu, and it is amazing.
Yes.
She's doing the stand-up, she's doing the hosting, she's doing all the things.
Yes.
She is booked and busy, but she's here with us. I can't wait.
Then we answer your adulting questions with the man behind the air horn, DJ Don Will.
Pew, 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 pew. And also we sit down with Christian Banda, who produces our live show. And Jordan, can I just tell you? We got some good questions.
Okay, you ready to do this?
I'm always ready, bitch. Are we recording, Joe?
Oh,
my God. Okay.
Yeah.
Whoa.
So, I mean...
Everyone freezes up suddenly.
I know. I'm like, where do we start?
Buttholes puckered.
All right. We good?
In This Way Up, was there anything that was like too... it was too sensitive for you to talk about? Or did you work your way through everything?
No, I definitely worked my way through. There's a lot of... I mean, what I will say about the show is, as opposed to stand-up, I've decided to not pull out the bits of the show which are from my life and from not... So, yes, for anyone who's just listening in, I have a new show out on Hulu. Mm-hmm. It's called This Way Up. Basically, I wrote this article about 2 years ago about my dad's suicide. And it's not something I talked about before at all. And the thing kind of went viral. And it was quite a taboo subject that nobody talks about. And in a way, the show is a little bit of my comedy response to the people who got in touch, because I couldn't get back to everyone. There was no physical way I could get back in touch with the amount of people.
And why do you think Irish and English people are better at making sad things funny?
I don't know. Maybe it's where, maybe we're really okay with it. Mm-hmm. So my show, people have started describing a couple of shows as sad coms. And I've never described it as a comedy that deals with issues, but like no big deal for me.
Okay.
And I think in stand-up, we naturally, we see how do I deal with the things that are coming into my head all the time and make it funny, because it's not our job to do TED Talks. Like, hey guys, now it's time I actually talked about something properly, now that the jokes are over. And so, but I think that maybe in the UK and Ireland, that's where our sentiment is within sitcom writing.
Mm. Right.
So I kind of hate when people are like, oh, it's another sad com. You're like, no, it's a comedy. Just everyone just stop being uncomfortable.
Right.
So for example, if you look at The Office, the UK Office is way darker than the American Office.
It's so
and both
good.
Of them exist in their both amazing forms, but they're not a direct copy of each other. And Steve Carell puts warmth and like you love him.
Hope, right.
Yeah. Hope, and where Ricky Gervais, they really push into the hopelessness, even that area of London where it's set
Slough.
In the Slough.
Love
there's
it.
A hopeless, but there's an element of hopelessness in that which they find funny and I find hilarious as well. But it is, I think it's a comfort with it.
Have you ever had a breakdown before?
Well, see, this is the question. That's what the show is sort of about.
Yeah.
So for me, and genuinely this is like, because someone said to me, oh, you know, you can have a press answer if you want. But one thing I sort of, I suppose, felt I lost a little bit was a little bit of privacy or my own private stories.
Right.
And so with the show, it is fiction and... But there are little threads of everything in there. And the problem is, the more profile we all get, what bits do you protect? Or even like, what bits do you discuss with your family, your partners, your friends, that suddenly you're like, oh no, I'm fencing that off, actually.
Yeah.
And it's hard because that's the opposite of what you want to do as a stand-up.
It is.
Especially if you're like us, we're storytellers about our lives. And for me with this, it's the one thing that I'm like, do you know what? I'm going to maybe protect how much of my life and my show is this, because I've made a fictional character to deal with the different things that are in that. And that's maybe that's OK. And I hate maybe that I've gotten to that stage this year in particular. But
you
a lot
what?
Of my life has been.
Isn't that a wonderful problem to have, though?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes,
oh, my God.
But also, you have to protect you. What I love about you on social media is like you're an advocate for everybody. So it's like, you know, you can still, I feel like, have a piece of you out there and people know what your heart is, but they don't have to know everything you've been through.
Yes. Which I think maybe So here's a little bit of information. These two people, I don't know that long, but I became so fond of you both. And genuinely, you can just tell people's souls straight away. I first met Michelle. We were doing our mini Netflix specials out in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And there was, what are the 12 of us in total?
Sound like that.
Yeah. And we were on the same like run of nights. And I hadn't had a great month that year, not that you would have known that. And I'd gone from London, my pal's little baby had passed away, and I'd gone from like literally the funeral to London to LA trying to test out my set in front of Americans, 15 minutes, and then into Atlanta. And I just felt really wiggy and just odd and overwhelmed. And I think I might have been one of the last people to kind of get attached to the Netflix show. So I didn't know too far in advance, but I was also really... just really highly strung, and I wasn't sleeping when I got there, and I was convinced there was a ghost in our hotel, which I didn't tell you at the start because I felt like, I think people will judge me if I'm like, "Hi guys, does any of you have a ghost in your hotel?"
It's probably an expensive ghost because it was the W.
Yeah, exactly. I was a bit like, the W has a ghost problem, and that's, you know, people are paying for this.
W's are very new. Not
they
to
probably
ever,
built that W on a plantation.
Yeah,
it's in
Atlanta. That's what's happening.
A lot of unsettled ground.
Oh yeah, my god. And I could bloody hear it. It was in the pipes. I mean, I'm not going to jump in on this. Yeah, of course.
Octavia Spencer's going to play that ghost.
That was a good move not to jump in. But yeah. Right. You're right about the casting.
It's hard because I love singing in groups, but I really think I should not sing there.
I could not tell that you were going through any... I mean, everybody had
We wouldn't, but because we're in a nervous energy. And also, we'd been kept in the hotel, and rightly so, for like the 2 days, and we'd go in...
Is that a jury?
But like, we were... Yeah, a little bit. We were in the hotel in a new town. Then you got brought to do like the press bits and your hair and makeup tests and try out your set. And I decided, because when I get nervous, I speak a lot anyways, but my words sometimes don't come out that fast. And I was also very aware I was in a foreign country and there weren't that many, say, foreign immigrants on the bill, and that I was talking, you know, get some,
sure.
It's not your home tempo. Territory.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Especially in Atlanta.
Yeah, and you're not sort of known, or you're just... Yeah. And sometimes people do need a while to acclimatize to your voice. And it was just... And again,
especially a woman one.
Yeah, like, hello, dear, no. What is this bitch's deal?
I feel at this time I won't jump in.
Yeah.
You know? I have one. No.
Isn't that so woke of us all to know when and when we cannot jump in? I feel like, Michelle, you can jump in on everything.
I know.
It's great. It's a great place to be in.
These titties be working.
They go every direction.
They do.
I remember just in particular, and again, you wouldn't have noticed it, and in the same way, but you just never know when like a little hey or a connection with someone can sort of make their day. Yeah. And you and Sabrina Jalees were just so... Hey, bitch, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
To me. And it was just, not that everyone wasn't lovely, but someone just extra being like, just so nice. And you've done that at a few gigs where you're like, ugh, I remember I died at this one gig when I was in New York. And you were like, those people, fuck them. I do that gig the whole time, but I fuck. And I was like, you know,
because it
sometimes you just need, and that... It takes a slight moment out of someone else's day, but can just mean the world in a moment like that. You're like, oh, thank you. You know, so absolutely.
That's what we do look out for each other.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean,
but not everyone thinks like that.
But you're an international comedian. And so, you know, it's one thing. My poop just hit the mic. It's one thing like going.
I thought she had poop. And I was like, no, that's when my poop hit the mic.
My poop hit the mic. Oh, score for me. What do I win?
Ashling's like, what are these American expressions? And that's when the poop hit the mic, everybody.
Everybody knows when the poop hit the mic. It's like the shit hit the fan, but the poop hit the mic. public radio stuff, you know. But no, I feel like going to another comedy club, it feels like you're going to another school. You know what I mean? You're the freshman and everyone else is a senior.
Yeah.
So I have been to a lot of different schools. I'm the only child. I always love
that
when
makes
somebody
a
was
lot
like,
of sense.
It's so easy to be nice to people.
Yeah.
By also, that's not the first time we met. The first time we met was at a UCB show in LA.
Yes, it was. I remember.
And
yes.
I remember I was writing a list of not like my jokes, but things I had to do. And I will never forget, you were just like, you shouldn't write lists because you're going to beat yourself up for not getting to them. I'm like, are you in my mind? Are you in my mind?
Wow, that's an amazing nugget.
Funny.
Yeah.
Well, So there's going to be an element of focus to writing lists, which is great when we just need to get stuff out of our head.
Okay.
But if we write too many lists sometimes on our to-do list, basically what you're setting yourself up for is an element of A, getting your dopamine rush from writing the thing down, not from achieving the thing, and also setting yourself up to like, oh, look at the things I didn't get to this day, rather than just some days going, what can I just manage and give myself a break to get through? And you'll remember if it's important enough.
Yeah. Okay, so we have some questions we want you to answer about adulting. Just pick one.
Oh, give me an accent and I'll just do it in an accent just for a bit of fun.
Minnesota.
Minnesota? Is that where they talk like that? Do they talk a bit like Minnesota?
That's not bad.
So, guys, what age do we start buying / drinking wine that is more than $15?
Oof. 30.
I tried early at like 23 and couldn't maintain that.
Early achiever.
You don't want $15.
I didn't have the money for it. Yeah.
But get that $2 Chuck. You all right?
Yeah.
30, because you should be making decent money at 30 and at least have your own toilet.
But right. I wonder, is that one of those things where you're like, wine should cost more than $15, but that's actually not a like...
If you want to try an organic blend or something from another year, we don't have to always get something in the same year. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Come on now.
We're
don't
pretending
look at me.
You know what
I
year.
Love when you go deep on it. You're like, if you want to get an organic blend or something mineral inspired, just go for
Spanish,
it.
Spanish accent.
Okay, so, okay, I'm going to be from Valencia. Okay, so guys, how do you know if you can actually afford something or if it's a splurge?
Oh.
Oh my God.
Actually, Sue
Orman, where are you?
I know. Yeah. That's a good question.
It's like Marie Kondo, isn't it? Does it spark joy?
Oh, honey. I should have had that phrase when I was just doing one night stands.
Yeah.
Does it
spark joy? Does it spark joy?
Yes. Because I'm trying to make it work like the vacuum cleaner that's full. Like, just keep going in. It is not working.
It's kind of like keeping three bad chargers for Nokias you don't earn anymore except three penises.
I don't know.
I've heard if you have six times the amount in your account, then you can buy the
that's
thing.
That's a lot of amount.
That's
then
what Sue
again,
says.
The law of abundance says don't behave like it's not going to come in.
Woo!
You know?
Oh,
then
Ashley.
The poop hits the mic.
Yes! And on that note,
Hashtag poop hits a mic. Hashtag poop. Hashtag hits a hashtag mic.
Thank you so much for being
Thank
here.
You,
oh, please
you
watch my show. It's on Hulu.
This
it's
way
called
up.
This Way Up.
Yeah, do it now.
No.
I'm going to watch it once I get home.
You're not, don't you?
No, I am.
You're not.
Look at him. Does he look like he has anything else to do?
All right. Michelle, it's that time.
For what?
We gotta go to break.
Yes, please, let's go. I gotta go pee. This adult diaper is not working. Welcome back to Adulting, everybody. And Jordan, this is very exciting. So people listen to the podcast, they come to the show, they know the people that help us make the podcast and the live show a good one.
Yes.
But we never get to sit down and talk to our homeboys that help us make adulting the spectacular show that it is.
It's true.
Yes.
It's true. It's time to get a little BTS behind the scenes,
Ooh.
Right?
Ooh. We got DJ Don Will on the ones and twos with us. And one of our favorite producers who's out there in the front lines getting the questions from people, the audience.
Yeah.
And all the other stuff that needs doing and stuff.
I'm the glue man.
Yeah.
That's gross.
Christian. Oh, wait.
What you went there, bro?
No, I didn't.
You're nasty.
Christian Banda is the glue man.
Yeah, what's up, y'all?
That is a weird ass.
I immediately regret giving myself that
so nasty.
I got a question. What has been most like some of your most memorable situations during these adulting shows?
Yeah, Banda. Yeah, Don.
Calming Michelle down has been.
What?
Oh, you are. I feel like I'm here trying to be like, all right, Michelle Center. I feel like I'm like one of your crystals.
Please.
I really enjoy being like in the close proximity to the guests. Like it's just so much fun to see them like in that moment. Like I know the people who listen to the podcast can't see the facial expressions and can't see like exactly what's happening.
Yeah.
So just like watching people react to the like the questions and to the energy in the room is super fun for me.
I Don, some of your answers though are like kind of they're not like out of left field, but they're very surprising to me. Like your whole philosophy about life and things like that and some of your experiences, I have to say, are like they catch me by surprise. They catch the audience by surprise. I love them. You know,
Where
did you grow up though?
I grew up in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Okay, see?
Yeah. Born and raised. I was there for 18 years before I went to North Carolina for school.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went back to Ohio for a year. Then I moved to DC and then I moved here.
Okay.
But you're from a big family, right?
Big family, yeah. I got a lot of cousins, I got one sister who has a lot of children, so it's a lot of women in my family.
Okay.
That's why Don always knows when to talk.
That, you already know. You speak what's spoken to, you see, not her. You know what I'm saying?
Love that. Who did you want to be when you came to New York?
Oh, man, that's a fantastic question.
Were you DJ before you came to New York?
No. I moved to New York, I was just rapping and making beats.
Okay, got you.
Yeah, just specifically rapping, making beats. I wasn't in any way, shape, or form involved in the comedy world at all.
Yeah, how'd you find your way? Like, how'd that happen?
Me and Wyatt. It's Wyatt. I met Wyatt, and we started doing Shouting at the Screen together. And then that just kind of made its way into, hey, why don't you DJ my comedy show? And then I made a lot of relationships through that.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Through Night Train, yeah.
And what do you think? I mean, like, you're in both worlds or what?
I do music. I make rap songs. I thought about doing stand-up. Me and Michelle did a show before, actually, where I told
stories. A storytelling show, and it was fucking beautiful.
Yeah, I talked about being depressed in Paris, of all places.
Ugh! Don, you do it right.
Yeah.
Well, if you're gonna be depressed anywhere, you know what I'm saying? Wow.
Well, man. There's that thing too, right? Like, there's that thing where you have all the things you're supposed to have, and you still feel like, why do I still feel sad? Why is this not enough? Yeah. Is there something wrong with me?
And that's exactly like part of what it was. The other part was just not wanting to come back to this.
Did you feel that way while walking around along the Seine, looking at? You know,
oh God,
the Eiffel
this
Tower.
Is Jordan's opportunity having, to tell like, you all the things he knows from magnets.
You had like
Paris.
A little baguette with the foie gras on the side.
Oh my God.
And a little black cat on your shoulder and shit like that.
It was exactly. I had on a striped shirt like today. I had on
Man, that is a French ass Navy shirt right there.
I can't. But yeah. I did think that story was powerful because a lot of black men will not be vulnerable on stage and talk about feeling weak. Or, you know, sad or that anything is wrong with them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so for me, and I go to shows all the time, and I feel like I always know what someone's going to say. I had no idea what you're going to say because I only know you as a DJ. Like, I call him the Black Wilson from Home Improvement because I didn't even know he had legs 3 years later. I was behind a DJ booth.
It was definitely like one of those moments where, like, I feel like me and Michelle got close, and then I came to the meatball party.
You got a meatball party invitation after at the storyteller show.
She's like, oh, he's real. He's for real. Let's give him a meatball.
He's meatball worthy. He's a meatball.
Swap meat.
Did you bring any meatballs yourself?
I brought.
That's the follow up.
Well, some people do, and some people just buy them on the way.
No,
and some people don't bring.
Glue Man's bringing the meatballs.
I'm ready. I'm storing on my invite. No. I'm keeping 100,000.
Christian, how old are you?
I am so 27, young. Going on 28.
Of course you're going on 28.
Yeah, next month or so.
Oh, good for you.
Thank you.
He's so young.
And where are you from?
I grew up in Western Massachusetts. Shout out 413. But
oh my God, what are you, Mr. Worldwide?
413.
No one ever
talks about the western part of Massachusetts.
Because nobody cares.
I know.
No, I care. The Berkshires.
Thank you.
Oh Lord.
First gen American. My mom's from Tanzania. My dad's from Malawi.
In line.
Yeah. No.
Oh, how unique.
What was it like fucking being first generation in Western Massachusetts? Did they go there because a lot of family was there and they thought the streets were paved with gold? Because that's what happened with my Haitian family.
Fucking Fievel or something?
No. She's not wrong. Like,
no, a lot of people move with their family. I mean, you're American, but a lot of people that have parents from other places, they move with people that say, no, it's cool. You can come and your kids can go to school. And so you have like a community there.
For sure. New England has like a heavy East African population.
Also Haitian.
Oh, Haitian as well. Okay. Yeah. I didn't even know that. But like growing up, there was a constant identity crisis because you'd go home and hear Swahili and like eat all this African food. And you go to like basically a public private school with a whole bunch of white people. So it was like I was always trying to find my center.
I feel like
it was tough.
I feel like you're doing a good job now.
Thank you. It took a while.
I mean, it never stops, though. I will say that.
Okay.
I found Banda at MTV. Like, I literally found him.
In the Lost and Found box?
Yeah, I was going to say, in a Lost and Found. I did almost find him in a Lost and Found.
He went to the lobby. Toy. He was like, Father, can you hear me? What the fuck?
He was a cubicle over, and he was always like, peering over and seeing like what we were doing on the other side of the wall, right, Bandit? You were like, get me out of here.
Not so many words, but yes, I was. Jordan and I worked on Common Sense together with Charlamagne
the God.
My man's kept in touch, which meant a lot to me to have like a black successful comedian writer.
No, no, just like reach out to y'all, man, because we all gotta stick together.
just a black.
I now have a black.
That's my black.
Thank you, Donald Trump. And I remember, I mean, we're speaking about vulnerability. If you don't mind, Christian.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I remember you reached out to me at a pretty low point.
Yeah,
and what was the low point?
I wasn't getting any work. I didn't feel like I was good at any sort of production. It was just like 4 months of nothing. I was depressed as hell, doing odd jobs. And then like I texted Jordan and I was like, hey man, it'd been like a month or two. And I was like, can you just like talk to me? I need someone to talk to. Yeah, I was like that. And to Jordan's credit, he's like, I'm gonna call you at 10:30 sharp, brother. And I was like, that meant the world to me. So he like
Eastern time.
Yeah, Eastern time. You're driving back from DC and you went through it. Like we just had the realest convo ever. Yeah. And then you were like, hey, me and Michelle were like trying to make this adulting show a thing. So if you want to come through and help out, you are more than welcome.
Yeah,
and
man.
The rest is history, as they said.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah.
All right, cool. What are your least favorite parts of the show? And then we'll get into questions.
Least favorite?
My least favorite part?
Yeah, what's your least favorite part? Yeah.
What do you dread?
My least favorite part is probably the most asinine, silly shit, but it's hard for me to sometimes read the handwriting on the questions.
Yeah.
And like, so the. I try to
urge legibility. I really do for you all.
There's a lot of Hannibal Lecters out there, though.
Lord.
You know when you get those weird ones? They're just like, when in December, when the vegetables fail in my cellar, I wonder. And you're just like, what the fuck?
All right, let's just go to. You know what I need? I need a break. Give me a break. I need a break.
Yeah.
Can you break me off a piece? Yeah.
I have no command over that, but I will break you off a piece of the Kit Kat.
Oh, God. Let's get some questions.
Let's get these questions popping.
All right, Christian.
Q.
I got it.
Yeah. Let the millennial answer all these questions.
Oh, come on. I'm getting there. I'm getting to adulthood. How early is too early for an adult to go to bed? If you're in bed by like 9, I'm almost jealous. Like, I feel like that's early as hell. That means like your life is right. Like, everything's falling into place. Before double digits, you're getting a smooth 8 to 9 hours, waking up refreshed. I'm looking at you, silly. I hate that shit.
My wife goes to bed at 9:30.
She's got like, she's got glasses at the tip of her nose, reading like the newest New York Times bestseller.
She's like, can you just, I need you to do the composting. You can take out the trash and ka-ka-ka-ka. You know, like she, every night, 9:30. Boom, and she's up by 6:30.
Even weekends?
Even on the weekends.
Wow.
No, I can't. Every day is different for me.
Yeah.
But 10 o'clock. It's got to be 10 is the latest at this point. Yeah, because babies wake up at like 4 or 5 or 6. So I don't know what the fuck is going to happen.
I do 1:30. It keeps me on the edge where I got to be.
1:30 a.m.?
Yeah.
I
feel like a cop.
You guys don't go to bed together?
Absolutely not.
What about you? You know what's so cute? But okay, so we were hanging out at the house one time. It was a barbecue. You started sneezing a lot.
Yeah.
I was like, what's going on? I was like, are you allergic to fun? And you were like, oh, this is my bedtime when I start sneezing.
Wait, what?
That's your tell?
Yeah.
You need to explain yourself.
You did.
I just short-circuited. Explain yourself.
Like, I feel like my respiratory system starts to shut down. It's just
That's sad as fuck. I was just laughing because I thought it was funny. Now he needs an EpiPen. Answer a question before we get too real.
Like,
this is public
my
radio.
My bronchial tubes.
Go, Don.
What's the perfect response / answer for when your parents ask when you're getting married / having a baby?
Oh, none of your business.
Yeah, exactly.
When are you going to have one? When are you going to pay for one? Because everybody's just like, when you going to have a kid? When we were trying to have kids. I'm like, when you pay for it, bitch.
Exactly. Like,
get off my dick.
I would pretty much answer that question with whatever your parents' worst fear is. Just to like, fuck with them.
Oh, that's what I used to say. I'm like, what are your funeral plans?
Right, exactly.
You going to have old nubs?
Oh, my God.
Well, if you ask them about my future, I'm going to ask about yours.
Oh, my God.
Bitch. How do you know if the love you have for your partner is permanent romantic love?
Ooh. Oh,
that's tough. You have to go through it. Something has to happen.
Yeah.
Something
like
has to
happen. Like a rom-com.
Yeah, like, the stakes need to be a little bit higher than a rom-com, I think. She got on the wrong train. You know, like, I feel like it has to be like maybe
move in,
a parent dies,
yeah,
something like that. You got it. That's when you know.
Yeah. I say first thought, last thought. Is this person your first thought and your last thought? Is this person your first phone call, your last phone call?
I think it's like, who do you want to tell like your good news and bad news? Like, who's the person you want to talk
first
to
phone
the
call.
Most?
About? Yeah, yes.
That's right.
First thought, first phone call. Thank you, John Cusack.
Okay, next question.
All right.
How long do you have to wait before you start leaving stuff over at BF's apartment? Low-key claiming.
Ooh, it depends how many times a week you fucking. How many times a week you are there. Because you're going to need a toothbrush for your walk.
Yep.
Yeah, you're going to need that.
I would say 3 weeks.
3 weeks. And if you come back.
3 to 6 weeks.
If you're there a lot and you leave something there and you come back and your shit's moved, you might want to check into that relationship.
Ooh, really?
Like if you come back
do
and you're too...
people leave stuff at your place?
Yeah.
But
like if you come back and like that toothbrush is in a cupboard tucked away.
Yeah.
Or you know what I'm saying? Your whatever fucking sandals are just under the bed as opposed to where all the other shoes are.
Yeah.
You might want to check in with that person.
Okay.
I was such a dirty ass pigpen when I was single that no one wanted to leave stuff at my place.
That's
problem solved right there.
Solved everything.
Big,
I was like, you don't want to leave nothing over here.
Why are you wiping your hot wing hands on a shirt?
Next question.
Okay. Your paycheck does not come with instructions. What can we do as adults to stop living paycheck to paycheck?
Dude, that's the fucking government, man. That's the fucking...
Tell them.
That's America. It's like Rogaine. But it's like Rogaine.
How is it like Rogaine?
Because you need you take Rogaine to have hair, and the minute you stop taking it, you lose your hair. It's like they make us dependent on them. Yeah. You know what I mean?
True.
If you have to learn how to save for yourself. Mm. You know, you have to understand the system in order to beat the system. And you know, you could still like play by the rules, but you gotta like save your money because you can't make money and all of a sudden have money. That's not how it fucking works here.
You know,
because
it's you gotta I'm scale America. Back. You gotta think about all the things that you buy, your Hulus, your Netflixes. I'm on Black Mirror, guys, so check it out. But all those things that you spend money on that is just draining you year by year that could be like a trip or like could save you on a rainy day, you know?
Right.
I will say this, just as a practical application, I use an app called Digit, and Digit takes...
I have Digit.
You have Digit? Right.
Digit's
so
dope.
Digit like just takes a little bit of your money every day and compounds it and puts it in a savings account for a rainy day.
I have Digit. I have Acorns. Digit has actually saved my ass. Like,
yeah. I don't have any of
like,
these.
I want to say,
I'm the youngest one here.
Get Digit.
Look at you.
Have
at
your
you.
Money make money. I just make a lot of money.
Yeah, that's another option, way to do it.
Wow. Hey. Boom.
One more question.
That's an air horn time.
Okay.
The producer and me knows we have email. 2 minutes left, by the way.
That's that. Right. Oh, my God. Okay, we get it. You're a producer on The Daily Show. We understand that, Christian.
Say that one more time.
Somebody's dick jumped.
All right, should I read this one then?
Duh. Please.
All right. When do I stop buying Applebee's gift cards and start giving real gifts to my friends?
Now.
Never.
You say
never.
Never. People love Applebee's.
I love that margarita.
Yeah, I'd be hyped for an Applebee's.
Ooh, and like
gift
three apps for $20. Mm-hmm. Ooh, yeah. Applebee's is all right. You doing right. it? Yes.
Oh, yeah. Just a thought. Really,
they're trying to do better.
Also, Target's great.
Target.
Target is not, I'm not mad at
Target. Target is on hit.
Yeah,
I like
the Atlantic
Target.
Mall. You can go to Target and then go to Applebee's right across
the street. Don't think I haven't done that.
I did it last week.
Oh, this is a good one.
Oh, you're going away for the weekend. How many pairs of underwear does one pack?
Yeah.
More than enough. Yeah.
You always overpack. Yeah. Because you don't know what kind of day you're going to have.
Yep.
More than one.
Do you ever turn it inside out?
Oh, no. No.
Oh, me neither.
No.
Oops. Yikes. Put some underwear in your suitcase, person.
What is your favorite thing about becoming an adult? Not giving a fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to give a fuck about what everyone thought, what they expected from me, what I was supposed to look like, what I was supposed to sound like. You know, as a comedian, as a woman, as a partner, as a daughter, I don't give a fuck. Like, I am just me.
All around? What are you?
I like being able to treat my family, like get my mom some dinner or like walk through the mall with my sister. She'd be like, I like those shoes. I'd be like, all right, I'll get them for you. Like, I feel like that was my
moment. Oh my God.
Are you
like Pedro from 90 Day Fiancé?
I don't understand that reference.
The family Chantal.
Okay. Wait, are we going around? Or?
Yeah, okay. What's up, real quick?
One of my favorite things is like understanding what my parents what they're going through at this age in their life. You know what I'm saying?
Right. They're people now. They're not just like mom and dad.
Yeah, so I can call my mom, and it's not the same conversation as when I was 16. Now it's just kind of like two adults shooting the shit. There's definitely like a power and a love respect there, but it's more like...
I almost want to ask my parents how they lost their virginity, but I'm like too scared to.
Oh God, I never want to.
You
never
want to know?
Nah.
What is wrong with you?
I mean, do you
truly
have time?
What is?
That's what this podcast is about, Michelle. It's trying to figure that out.
How weird you are!
Yes. What made me this way? Why are these parts all assembled like this? But I love.
Wait, is this a cry for help or is he joking?
No, haven't you all?
Not even a little bit.
Never wonder.
What?
You never.
I'm going to the ground.
Oh my god, Banda, please get a question before I throw up and forget to clean it.
My favorite part of being an adult
is
that I can reach things that are high up now. Is that weird?
Fucking, what are you, Tom Hanks and Big? This is so fucking ridiculous. Oh, too many cookies. Thank you guys for being here.
Yeah.
This has been amazing.
It's been dope. Thanks for having us.
Will, Christian Banda.
On the ones and twos and threes and fours.
Yes.
Don, any words? What's the most adult thing you guys want to do for yourselves this year?
Oh, man. I want to take a trip. I haven't taken a trip in a while. Like a vacation trip.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like a personal vacation trip I haven't done in a while.
Do it. So. Where do you want to go?
I don't know.
Good. That's then the you'll thing. Be happy anywhere you go.
I want to put a TV in my bedroom, I feel like.
Yeah, it's a nice 13-incher with like attached VHS.
No, I want bigger than that. VHS?
What is all this? A VCR. Sorry, you know this isn't 1992? All right, thank you guys.
All right,
you're awesome.
All right.
Yay. Bye.
Love you guys.
Love y'all.
Michelle.
Ah!
What a great show.
Oh my God. Yeah, it was a great show. We answered so many questions.
So many.
They just would not stop a coming.
Yeah.
We also talked to Aisling B, who has such an amazing, powerful story.
Yes. I mean, her sense of humor.
Is she the Irish Julia Roberts? I don't know. Gauntlet. Did you just turn into a horse?
Yeah, I did, because the gauntlet was thrown, and I will take that. Hey, honey. Yes.
Oh, Texas.
Yeah. Okay. Let's do the credits, huh?
Please.
Adulting was produced by Blakeney Schick and Odelia Rubin. The adulting team includes Joanna Solitaroff, Paula Schumann, Joe Plord, Keegan Zema, Ed Haber, George Wellington, and Irene Trudell. And the live show is produced by Christian Banda.
Our theme music is by Isaac Jones, with additional music by DJ Don Will.
In addition to the production team, whose names you hear at the end of like every episode, there's a whole bunch of people at WNYC Studios who help bring adulting to you each week.
That's right. Emily Mann, Holly St. John, Sarah Sandbach,
Kim Nowacki, Millie Christie DeVoe, Ashley Lusk, Caroline English,
Sahar Baharlu, Andrea Latimer, Theodora Cuslin,
Bianca Brady, Jennifer Houlihan Roussel, Camille Ortiz, and Brisa Robinson.
And if you like this episode, go on and rate us.
Or write a review, or both. You got options.
And subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh my gosh, words of wisdom, Michelle?
Don't feel like you have to do it all the time. You're fine. Do one thing at a time, and that's cool. No one's putting those expectations on you except you.
I like that.
Yeah. And it's okay if people don't like you.
What? Where's this going now?
Nowhere.
Okay.
Oh God.
That was the crowd.
I know.
It was supposed to be very hot. The Coliseum.
But it was just hot breath.
In the end. Yes.